This morning for our scripture reading, let's go to the New Testament book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, and there's a lot of reading here this morning. I'm going to read verses 5 through 17. And as you're finding your place, let me just say this. As I read through this, this is so practical, the scripture that I'm about to read, that it probably doesn't need much of an explanation, because it's just good, sound, godly advice. Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse number 5. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. I'm going to read 5 all the way through 17. God's word says this: "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Here, there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." And I'm going to stop right there. Let's go to God in prayer. Oh, Lord, what great, great words these are. But as human beings, sometimes they're just a little on the difficult side to follow. So, Father, I'm just asking, Lord, that this scripture, your word, provided by your Holy Spirit and written down through the Apostle Paul, may these things just really just cut us right to the heart as to the things that we need to learn, the way we need to live, and the words that we need to speak. Let us be able to walk in these things, Lord. We just trust you that this scripture will just penetrate us and most of all change us. And this we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. Week number 21 in our ongoing sermon series on the Ten Commandments. I do think we'll finish up the Ten Commandments this year, though. I think that'll be our target anyways. And today we're going to continue our study on the Sixth Commandment. And what is the Sixth Commandment? As written in Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, "You shall not murder." That is the command. And the actual commandment, that actual commandment not to murder, is repeated in the New Covenant in many, many different places. But last week, and we're going to bounce off of this again here today, last week we found out that Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22, he takes that sixth commandment to another level. Jesus says if anyone is angry, they will be subject to judgment. And one thing that Jesus is implying when he says that is that anger, which is in our hearts, can lead to murder. That would be an extreme example, but it could go there. But we also concluded this last week. Not all anger is wrong, and not all anger is sinful. There are two real categories of anger, and last week we talked about the first category, and we called that righteous anger. And righteous anger is the type of anger that we have that reacts against actual sin, and because we understand that God has been offended. God and His Word have been violated. Not me. God and His Word have been violated, and that is what makes me angry and makes you angry. Righteous anger, and that's okay. And as Christians, and Christians should get righteously angry when they see sin running rampant in the world. And especially we should get angry when we see another Christian who is in violation of God's word. If the church is failing in any sort of way, and in some sorts of ways it is, it's because the church has failed to be righteously angry over its members acting more like the world than acting like witnesses and representatives of Jesus Christ. That should make us righteously angry. And we concluded last week saying this: a Christian with righteous anger, which we should have, will always respond in a godly way, never respond in a sinful way. So, speaking of righteous anger, we know that God gets angry. We know that Jesus gets angry. Jesus was angry when he cleansed the temple. We read about that in John chapter 2 and Matthew 21, Mark 11, and in Luke 19. And actually, if you look at the scriptures, he cleansed the temple twice. In John chapter 2 at the beginning of his ministry, and in the other three gospels at the end of his ministry. We know this, in Exodus chapter 4, says that God was angry with Moses because Moses wanted God to send someone else to go deliver the Israelites out of bondage in Egypt. And God was angry with Moses because of that. And in Psalm 80, verse 4, it says this: "How long, Lord God Almighty, will your anger smolder against the prayers of your people?" So we know this. You can be assured that any time any of the persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, when any one of those get angry, it is always righteous anger. But what about anger that we humans have that is not categorized as righteous anger? Let's call this other category personal anger. And this morning, let's define that type of anger and see what God's word says about it and how we need to handle it. Our first fill in the blank, number one. We got five fill in the blanks here this morning. Let's go to our first one. This one is going to be very similar to the one that we had last week, only I'm wording it a little bit different. So our first fill in the blank would say this: personal anger is one possible response when there is a violation against my own personal desires. Against my own personal desires. Personal anger, and this is how you can tell the difference between it and righteous anger. Personal anger has nothing to do with a violation of the law of God. It has everything to do, are you ready? With me not getting what I want. Could you imagine that? We don't get what we want, and we can get angry over that. And I promise you, the list of things that can make us personally angry is 100 miles long and probably 100 miles wide. Let me give you four personal examples from me of things that can make me personally angry. I can have personal anger when other drivers on the road do not properly use their turn signals. Drives me crazy. I can have personal anger when I watch the news about politics in the United States of America. That's why I quit watching the news. I can have personal anger over telemarketers who call me and insist on selling me a timeshare at the beach and they don't want to hang up the phone. And a fourth one. I can have personal anger at poor customer service that I often receive at fast food restaurants. Don't these youngsters get it? And as I said earlier, the list of situations that can make any one of us in here personally angry is 100 miles long, it's 100 miles wide, and it can include everything under the sun. And you know what your list is because you have one too. But the one thing in common with every instance of personal anger is this: we do not get what we want. And in 21st century America, we live in a society where we are very used to getting what we want. Yes, I want other drivers to properly use their turn signals. Yes, I want both parties of our government and the news media to all just get along. Yes, I want the telemarketers not to call me to call somebody else. And I want professional customer service when I go out to eat, even at fast food restaurants. But did you notice the common denominator in all four of those sentences? I want. And in these cases, my desires are not met. Therefore, my response, I get angry. The website, www.everydayhealth.com, says that if you are prone to losing your temper, there are 7 health reasons to stay calm. Again, everydayhealth.com. 7 reasons not to lose your temper. Reason number 1, an angry outburst puts your heart at great risk. Number 2, anger ups your risk for having a stroke. Number 3, anger weakens your immune system. Number 4, anger problems can make your anxiety worse. Number 5, anger is linked to depression. Number 6, hostility can hurt your lungs. And number 7, anger can shorten your life. So we see that personal anger, when it's improperly controlled, and I stress improperly controlled, can have and will have a negative effect on our bodies and our own personal health. But let's admit it, we are human beings, and we all have the human condition, and we're all going to have personal anger to some degree in some situations. And as I said before, but again, personal anger in and of itself is not sinful. The sin is in what we do when we become personally angry. So I'm going to ask a series of questions that I want all of us to just kind of think about. What is our answer? Because I'm going to challenge us on a personal level. Just think about your answers here, folks. Here's the questions. Are you an angry person? Where do you allow your anger to take you? Does your anger cross the line into sinful behavior? Is your anger hurtful towards others? Does your anger give Christianity a bad name? Is your anger displayed in words, displayed in actions, or is it displayed in both? Do you allow your anger to escalate into fits of rage? And the final question, do you control your anger, or does your anger control you? In Genesis chapter 4, Cain got angry over a sacrifice and murdered his brother Abel. In 1 Kings chapter 21, King Ahab was angry over a man who owned a vineyard, a man by the name of Naboth, the Jezreelite. And he was so angry over this, King Ahab's wife, Jezebel, had Naboth murdered. In Nehemiah chapter 4, two men who go by the name of Sanballat and Tobiah, they were angry with the Jews because they were rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem. And these two men, along with others, wanted to kill all the Jews. How far, people, are we going to allow our anger to take us? Go on YouTube, if you have internet, go on YouTube and do a search on road rage and watch a few of those videos. I assure you that anger, when it's out of control, will always lead a person into a sinful situation, lead them into poor life decisions, lead them into broken relationships, lead them into declining health, and in some cases could lead a person into death. So I'll ask again, how far, people, are we going to allow our anger to take us? The book of Proverbs is a great book if you want great godly advice on holy living. So does this book give us any godly wisdom about the topic of anger? Oh, yes, it does. It gives us a lot. Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25 gives us this godly counsel. It says this, do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. You might not be an angry person, but you start socializing and associating with someone who is very hot-tempered or easily angered, and you could become just like them. Remember, I haven't done this for a while, we're not old creatures anymore, are we? We are new creations in Christ. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 32 and 33 says this, if you play the fool and exalt yourself, or if you plan evil, clap your hand over your mouth. For as churning cream produces butter, and as the twisting the nose produces blood, so stirring up anger produces strife. Some people love to stir the pot and keep it brewing. Remember, we're not old creatures anymore, folks. We are new creations in Christ. The Word of God does allow for personal anger, but never a sinful response to it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 clearly tells us this, that in our anger, do not sin. The NASB says it this way, be angry, but in your anger, do not sin. We are never to allow our righteous anger or our personal anger to cross that line into a sinful situation. There is nothing wrong with me getting upset over poor customer service at McDonald's or Burger King or Wendy's, especially the one in Verona. But when I start yelling and start punching the employees, And when I start taking packets of ketchup and throwing them at the unsuspecting customers, and when I start taking my diet Dr. Pepper and just dumping it all over the floor, that is not the way Christians respond to personal anger. Is that the way that we want to represent the Savior that we are giving witness to? I think not. Well, but some people are going to say this: well, Mike, I am just an angry person. If anybody ever says that, I have two responses for that person. Response number one: I assure you that God did not make you that way. So quit using that as a poor excuse for your poor behavior. And number two, if you say, well, I'm just an angry person, I say this: then if you claim that you're a Christian, then you are a new creation in Christ. And I strongly suggest that you start acting that way. Hypothetical letter written to me. Dear Mike, I have anger issues. How do I handle my anger, which too often gets out of control and makes me a poor witness for Christ? Could you please steer me in the right direction? I'm glad that person wrote that little letter, because I'd love to respond to them. And let's respond by going to our next four fill in the blanks. And here's my response to that person who wrote that letter, which is purely hypothetical, or maybe hits closer to home than what we think. Our fill in the blank number two: I got to go to Proverbs 29 verse 8, which says this: mockers stir up a city, but the wise turn away anger. It begins with wisdom. Our fill in the blank would say this: seek the wisdom of God to help you with your anger issues. Seek the wisdom of God. You will never overcome, if you have this issue of anger and you cross the line too often, you'll never overcome that issue if you don't take it before God and you lay it right down there at the foot of the cross. James chapter 1 verse 5 says this, assures us this: if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without, here's the best part, without finding fault, and it will be given to you. James 1:5. So we seek the wisdom of God to overcome this issue. Our next fill in the blank, we're going to go to Proverbs 15:1. Proverbs 15:1 says this: a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Here we go, stirring that pot again. So what's our fill in the blank? Be careful of your speech when confronted with an angry situation. What does your mouth do? And what is your vocabulary when you get angry? Is it something that Christ would be proud of? And as the old saying goes, do you put your mouth in gear before you engage your brain? We don't want to go there either. Ephesians 4:29 warns us to not let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths, but only what is helpful in building others up. So we need to be careful of our speech when we get angry. Fill in the blank number four, our next one. There's a whole lot of words we need to fill in here, and you could very simply just go back to Colossians that I read earlier and fill in these words. I gave you the first letter of all of them. We need to trade this anger that we got for something that's godly. So let's trade our anger for C, compassion. Let's trade our anger for K, kindness. Let's trade our anger for H, humility. Let's trade our anger for G, gentleness. Let's trade our anger for P, patience. Let's trade our anger for F, forgiveness. And let's trade our anger for L, love. If we are new creations in Christ, we need to start acting like Christ, acting like this person over here and not like this person over here. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, love. It sounds like the fruit of the Holy Spirit, by golly, doesn't it? Sounds like the exact same list. And our fill-in-the-blank number 5. A simple one. Never go to bed angry. Never go to bed angry. Ephesians 4:26. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Psalm 4:4, the one I read earlier, kind of makes a whole lot more sense now. It says this, tremble and do not sin. When you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Did you ever lie in bed at night, smoldering over the anger you have, and you're contemplating how you are going to get even with that person who made you angry that day? Oh, yes, we have. Oh, and I'm going to go to bed and I'm going to think of the best plan possible. And tomorrow, by golly, they're going to get it. We can't go there. We can't go there. Whenever possible, when we're confronted with an anger issue, we need to settle the issue quickly and never, ever let it stew. Why? Because if we don't, we're going to lie there in our bed at night and we're going to allow the devil to get a foothold into us. And that devil's going to lead us into a sinful situation. And we're going to end up to be in a sinful situation that we probably really do not want to be in. Christians, we are the salt of the earth, and we are a light to the world. And when we allow our anger to show in different situations, that doesn't make us very salty, and it doesn't make us very bright. We are new creations in Christ. Colossians chapter 3 tells us that we need to model compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, and love, and do away with that other thing called anger. This isn't optional. It's the sixth commandment. Oh, Mike, couldn't you have just stopped that sixth commandment with the murder thing? Because I got that one down pretty good. Jesus didn't, so I can't either. And I'll just be right up front. Maybe I don't know who you are, but maybe there might be some people in here. It's time for a change. In the big scheme of things, think of it this way, Beach Grove. In the big scheme of things, too often we have personal anger over the most trivial of issues that really don't amount to a hill of beans. There's bigger fish to fry. People are out there and they're dying and going to hell. So here's my suggestion. All that energy, all those words, all that plotting and planning that we would normally do because we're angry and we want to get even with somebody else, let's take all of that and siphon it over here and be a really, really good witness for Jesus Christ. There's probably a good chance that that person you're angry with is probably someone you love anyways. We don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. Wouldn't we rather channel that energy into something that could be really, really useful for the kingdom of God? I promise you, if we take all this and we build it up and do something over here, we're all going to sleep a whole lot better at night. I promise you. Well, so much for anger. Next week, we begin the seventh commandment. Hey, let's talk about adultery and sexual immorality. Yes! Yes! We'll spend a few weeks on that. And a lot, I'll just tell you right up front, a lot of what's going to be said over the next several weeks is going to be for mature audiences. We're going to use some very adult type language because this is probably one of the biggest issues that's plaguing people in the world today. I have no idea what I'm going to say about it, but we'll just let God's word tell us what to say about it. So please, adultery, sexual morality, next week, please come back. Let's pray.